There are 11 sermons by John Calvin in the facsimile that's been published by Banner of Truth on Deuteronomy chapter 28. And God willing, I hope to read them all. I had huge fun reading the sermons on, or huge blessing I should add, reading the sermons on the Ten Commandments by Calvin. My reason for focusing on chapter 28 is very simple, because not only was this chapter relevant at the time when Moses wrote it, and at the time of the Minor Prophets, and in Calvin's day when he was in Geneva under constant threat of military invasion and the restoration of Roman Catholicism, but it's relevant in our own day and in our own generation, when our own country, which has been so blessed by God, is falling away from God at a rapid pace. So I believe that these sermons are going to give us much helpful information and much that is going to encourage us to understand the times in which we live and to direct us to how we should respond. So this is entitled The First Sermon of John Calvin on the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and it was preached on Tuesday the 10th of March 1556, and the scripture is Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2. Before I read it, I just want to point out that I have read the whole chapter 28, onto a file and put this in the series box here on my website on sermon audio, so that I don't have to read the whole chapter at the start of every sermon. But I strongly encourage you either to have the Bible open in front of you or to listen to the chapter in its entirety before commencing the series, and regularly whilst listening to the sermons. So Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 and 2 read as follows. If thou obey the voice of the Lord thy God, in keeping and doing all his commandments, which I command thee this day, then will the Lord thy God make thee head over all the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon thee and enclose thee round about, if thou obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Father, I pray that you bless this preaching of this sermon by John Calvin, and I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be just an interesting historical statement of a man who is himself a giant in church history, Lord, but that it would speak to us today. Therefore, although it is being read by an inferior vessel, Lord, I pray for unction and liberty, and I pray that you would bring this word to life and speak to our hearts, Lord. Make us the Christians that we need to be in this generation, to stand up for the cause of Jesus Christ and to declare his gospel. So bless this reading of this sermon, I pray, and this we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I should add, to those of you who haven't heard me struggle to read the facsimile before, that this is a facsimile of the original translation into English of Calvin's sermons, and a lot of the spellings are very Old English. So when you hear me slip up and make silly mistakes, please bear with me in a little folly, because I think by God's grace we're going to get a lot of very valuable information and edification for our hearts from reading these messages. So here we go, first sermon on Deuteronomy chapter 28 by John Calvin. We have seen heretofore how God hath covenanted with his people of purpose to bind them, that every one should know his duty and be the better disposed to do the same. Now he speaketh as judge, having all authority. It skills not whether folk do plead guilty or no when they have done amiss, for God giveth here his determinate sentence, though they consent not thereunto. Neither doeth the case concern altogether the condemning of those that offend the law, but he beginneth with another matter, to wit, with right amiable promises, thereby to allure and to win men's hearts unto him. Thus therefore doth he say, if ye hearken unto my voice to obey my commandments and be careful to keep them, ye shall be blessed all manner of ways, and ye shall be environed through my favour with all manner of welfare and prosperity. I have already told you that God showeth great goodness towards men when he goeth about by such means to win them. For it was sufficient for him to say, this is your duty, and all creatures should tremble at his speaking. Therefore, when he addeth any promises, he forbeareth part of his right, and therein humbleth himself, that we should be the more inclined and better disposed to serve him. If we had done all that we can, yea, and more than we are able, is God bound to recompense us? Surely no. We must always resort to that which our Lord Jesus allegeth in St. Luke, namely, that if a man have a bondservant, and he send him to labour in the field all the day long, when the servant cometh home at night, will he say, Well, now must I do my turn. Thou shalt sit down at the table, and I will prepare thy supper, and give thee thy meat and drink, because thou hast laboured for me, and my course is now come to serve thee. Will the master say so? No, truly. But when the servant is come home, the master will say unto him, Cover the table, dress my supper, and give me drink. Even so saith Jesus Christ, When you have done all that is possible for you to do, think not in yourselves that God my Father oweth you aught at all, or that he is beholden unto you, but proceed on still, and acknowledge that all that ever ye can do is but duty towards him. And indeed, seeing that God hath made us, what is he that can do too much for the service of him? We see then that God may say plainly, Thus it pleaseth me, and this is my will, follow you my way. And therefore, whereas he telleth us that we shall be blessed and not lose our labour, but have reward for our serving of him, it is not to be doubted, but that in so doing he forbeareth some part of his right. In the meanwhile we may see that he prayeth the good and kind-hearted father to win his children. For although a father wotteth well that his children are bound to obey him to the uttermost, and that he for his part is not any way bound to them, yet will he not refuse to say, Lo, I love you, and I desire but your own welfare. Do but so as I may have liking of you, and I will not forsake you. The father will be liberal of promise, saying, Go to, ye know that all that ever I have is for you. For whom else do I travail, and to what other end? And if I see you take good ways, I will use you accordingly. Thus doth the father that humbleth himself in his authority. And wherefore? Because he would that his children should serve him of free good will, rather than be compelled thereunto by rigorous extremity. Let us mark, therefore, that all the promises contained in Holy Scripture be as it were so many testimonies of the fatherly love of our God, showing himself to have a care of our health and welfare, in that he vouchsafeth us to apply and fashion himself unto us, by means whereof the law of God becometh the more amiable unto us. For as much as we see that in keeping of the same we be not disappointed of a good reward, ye fare greater than we can wish. Yea, fare far greater than we can wish. For under this word blessing is comprehended all manner of prosperity. Moreover, when God doth make us to prosper in this world, it is for none other purpose but to give us a taste of his love towards us. Howbeit, this is not the chief point whereupon he would have us to stay, but he leadeth us ever further, insomuch that we, when we feel his goodness in this present life, and that he hath care of us, and that he reacheth forth his hand to provide for us all things that are necessary, we ought thereupon to conclude much more strongly that when he hath taken us out of this present world, he will then pour upon us the riches of his goodness in other manner of sort than we be now able to comprehend. Indeed, we have this lifesome small show thereof, but the abundant accomplishment of the same shall be in the kingdom of heaven. Thus ye see that we have to consider in that our God delivereth forth his promises to train us the better to serve him of free good will. Never the latter, however, the world go, let us mark that all promises which God maketh us upon conditions stand us in no stead, as it was told you yesterday, if we stay there. For why, truly God is faithful, and his speaking is not to deceive us. But yet let us look to ourselves. What is he that so dischargeth him of his duty, that he may hope to be blessed of God? It is not said, You shall be blessed in keeping part of my law, but it is said in the text, If ye hear my voice, and be diligent in keeping all my commandments, and fulfil them all, then I will bless you. Now that men endeavour themselves in all that is possible to keep the law of God, I speak not of their own power or natural motion. For so far off are they which be not regenerate by the Holy Ghost from attaining to serve God, that they come to, that they can no skill so much as to conceive a good thought, what is the inclination of man, but a striving against God and all his righteousness. So long as men follow the leading of their own spirit, they do nothing else but fight against God as utter rebels to his whole will. To be short, we be not apt, as St. Paul saith, so much as to think to do well. To think is a very small thing, and yet St. Paul cutteth us off from that power, and showeth that we be so corrupted and frowardly bent, that in all things we draw contrary to that which God commandeth us, insomuch that even when God hath reformed us by his Holy Spirit, and changed our malice and rebellion, whereunto we be wholly inclined, yet can it not be said that we proceed to the obeying of him in all perfection. For there is always some infirmity to let us, so that instead of running we do but halt and trail our legs after us, instead of going right forward we reel from one side to another, and it happeneth often to us to trip and so stumble, as every man may well find in himself. How then can we hope to be blessed of our God, being so far wide from keeping his law? That is the cause why I said that all the promises which be upon condition are utterly unattainable. Unavailable is the word. Utterly unavailable, and shall never come to their effect if God should rest upon that point. Indeed, this matter was expounded yesterday, and this place was expressly alleged by St. Paul, where it is said that if salvation come by works, and the inheritance proceed of the law, then shall there be no performance of the promises. For we do fail on our part, and therefore the covenant is void that God hath made with us. Yet may it not hereby be concluded that God mocketh us in setting down these promises, as the Papists do at the first dash, starting out of their bounds and playing the madmen. For when it is said that all the promises contained in the Holy Scripture be not effectual, otherwise than by means of the forgiveness of our sins through free goodness of God, the free goodness of God, and that we are justified by faith only, what say they, seeing it is said, I will bless you, so you serve me and honour me, it seemeth that God useth but hypocrisy, and maketh a dalliance with men. To what purpose saith he so? Thus doth the Papist accuse God of falsehood, and blaspheme him, if they be not able to deserve the promises which he hath made them. For otherwise they think it is but a mockery to make men believe that he would bless them. But let us beware of such madness, and let us rather understand to what end God hath given his promises unto men, and we shall see that it is not in vain. I said heretofore that God hath showed his great goodness in humbling himself so lovingly unto us. We pertain wholly to him, we are altogether his, and yet would he not simply command, but command with promises and gentleness to win us? If a man do hereupon reply and say, What doth it profit us? Truly it profiteth us nothing at all if we stay there, but we must go further. Then we hear the promises that God hath offered unto us, and see that all his seeking is to win us through love, and that he meaneth not to enforce us through necessity. It condemneth us of unthankfulness if we bend not ourselves wholly towards him. But we cannot do it. Wherefore? Are we then excused? No. For it is our own naughtiness that doth let us. Every man shall condemn himself, says St. James, because there is nothing that provoketh us to evil, but the concupiscence of our own flesh. Seeing then that the fault is in us, we must make no more allegations, and here ye see, we be confounded before God. Thus then have we cause to be twice the more lowly. First of all, for that we be so lewd that God's goodness moveth us not to come near him, and to put ourselves under his leading, and secondly, for that we search not out the bottom of the sin that is in us after this manner. Alas, seeing I have every day so innumerable thoughts, so many desires and emotions, such store of affections, and which serve altogether to turn me away from that good whereunto God doth call me. That's Calvin speaking. By reason whereof, I know that we are all like that. By reason whereof I cease not to offend God in all things, so as nothing can be drawn from me, but utter evil, all offence and all iniquity. Alas, in what taking am I? Men, when they see this, must needs feel themselves double confounded. And when they have well examined themselves, they must needs be driven to think thus: well, God hath laid before me all the means that I can wish for to attain salvation, if I were not altogether corrupt and perverse. And now cannot I plead ignorance, seeing that the law is given unto me, and the way showed me how I ought to govern me, and how to lead my life, and to the end that I should be the more willing thereunto. My God traineth me to it by gentleness, promising that I shall be rewarded for serving him. Is it so? What is then to be done? I must not in this case make any further protestation, nor stand pleading any more against God, for I am too much to blame already. Now when men find themselves thus condemned, then are they forced to seek their salvation out of themselves, and to resort to this second remedy. Alas, Lord, if the case were so that I should obtain salvation by serving of thee, thou hast given me thy law, and also joined thereunto thy promises. Howbeit, these things avail me nothing. I must therefore forsake myself, acknowledging that I am quite shut out of all hope of life, unless I find some other better hope. See here, I say, how we be led to our Lord Jesus Christ, and made to embrace the grace which is offered unto us in him, that by obtaining forgiveness of our sins, we may be sure to be blessed of God. When we have once gotten that favour, that God is at one with us by means of our Lord Jesus Christ, then doth he accept our unperfect works, as though we had accomplished all the law. Hallelujah. Although the good which the faithful do be not worthy to be received of God, yet doth he accept it in good worth. And wherefore? For he of his own goodness wipeth away all the faults that are in them. So then, when we labour to do well, notwithstanding that it lieth not in our power to attain to perfection, because of the overmuch frailty of our nature, yet will God receive our service as acceptable, as though he had nothing to say against it. And so are we made partakers of the blessings that are here mentioned. As how? We have not fulfilled all. It is true, but yet God passeth it in his accounts, as if all were performed, for so much as we be made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And like as we be cleansed, so be our works also. And when they come before God, he accepteth them, as though they were thoroughly good, righteous, and perfect. Here, therefore, we perceive that the promises be not given in vain, but that they have their effect in the faithful, not as the first dash, but when we come thereto by degrees and circumstances, for then we shall feel the effect and force of them, as concerning the misbelievers. The promises stand them in no stead. But to make them the more unexcusable before God in the last day. For what shall they be able to plead, seeing that God hath so familiarly offered himself unto them, requiring nothing but to have the fruition of their whole life, that they might obey him, and yet they continue hard-hearted? See ye not how they be double confounded? And therefore the promises and threatenings of the law be always good and righteous. Neither shall they be unprofitable, if a man can skill to take them, as it were, mere they should. But this shall be better perceived by the discourse which I shall make thereof particularly. Now let us proceed to expound the words that Moses doth use. If thou wilt hear the voice of the Lord thy God, and be careful to fulfil all the commandments which I command thee this day, all these blessings shall come upon thee, and compass thee round about. As touching the first point, Moses showeth that which we saw before, namely that the beginning to live well is to hearken unto God. For men must not have the rule over themselves, saying, I will govern myself after mine own liking. We must not take such liberty, for he that taketh too much upon himself shall at the last be rejected of God, for not yielding him his disobedience, which is the foundation whereon we ought to build. Let us mark, therefore, that all they which follow their own foolish devotions, as they call them, are misliked of God. For this text of the prophet Isaiah, what's Isaiah 1:12, I think. For this text of the prophet Isaiah must take place, who hath required these things at your hand? Let us acknowledge, therefore, that it is an inestimable benefit when God showeth us his will, and that the state of the papists is accursed. For when they intend to do well, they know not which way to turn them. But every one followeth his own fancy with, I hope it will be well, for my meaning is good, and again common custom alloweth it, and our holy mother the church doth command it. But in the meanwhile the law of God remaineth forgotten, whereby we may learn that there is nothing but confusion in the life of man, in which is nought else but a mingling without order, until they be taught of God, as we shall see hereafter. This is the way, walk in it. It is said that we must be careful. This word was set down once afore by Moses, and not without cause, as it is here again repeated. For we be warned by it, that unless men be very heedful in obeying God, and enforce themselves thereunto, and set their whole study thereon, in good earnest, they shall never attain to keep the law. And we ourselves see what weakness there is in us, yea, even albeit that God do govern us, and although we be reformed by his Holy Spirit. For as for the unfaithful, they be so carried away, and so furious in their wilful stubbornness, that a man would think that they should run mad against God. Yea, and although that we be governed by the Holy Ghost, yet are we so frail as is pity to see. God requireth a great perfection when he willeth us to love him with all our heart, to eschew all the vanities of this world and all our fleshly lusts, and, to be short, to forsake ourselves and to be altogether changed. This is a matter over high and difficult. Over high and difficult. Now let us consider what Satan doth devise and practice to turn us away from the service of God. How many sorts of temptations be there? They be infinite. Again, how sore are the assaults that Satan prepareth against us? When we have considered all of this, we may well conclude that it is not without cause that God saith that we must be careful, that every one of us must strengthen himself and gather all our forces together, and not think to set forth negligently to the service of our God. For when we suppose to march one step forward, we shall go 100 backward, if we be not very stout and courageous, holding ourselves in awe and restraining ourselves, and gathering our wits to us in such sort as we bend our minds wholly thereunto, and even as ye would say, labour for breath in travelling about it. Travailing about it. And moreover, seeing we be forelaid with ambushes on every side, and should be soon surprised, so as we should fall into the snares of Satan ere we were aware, let us take heed and be watchful. That is the thing whereof we be warned, and would God we could well carry away this lesson. For then, whereas we now apply all our power and all our endeavours to things not only frivolous, but altogether hurtful, tending to none other end but to deceive us to our destruction, every of us would be vigilant to walk in the obedience of God, and to give himself wholly thereunto. And seeing that we be warned thereof, there is no excuse. Will we then obey our God, and show that our affection is so bent without dissembling, that every one of us incline to that which is given him in commandment, namely to be careful, vigilant, and attentive? Now, he addeth, to keep all the commandments which I set before thee this day, or which I ordain for thee. Although Moses be the speaker hereof, yet taketh he the authority and power to command, and to subdue men, not to anything of his own forging, as who should say, it ought therefore to be received without gainsaying, but to God, because God speaketh by his mouth, and for that he himself doeth faithfully deliver the doctrine that was to him committed. Therefore speaketh he in such a high style, insomuch as he saith that they should keep his ordinances. It lieth not in the power of a mortal man to bind folks' consciences, and yet is that the thing which wholly corrupted the church, and in that men have usurped the office of God in making laws and statutes for spiritual government of men's souls. And that is a point of high treason to Godward. For the creature usurpeth to himself the thing which appertaineth to God only, whom the prophet Isaiah termed the lawgiver, and in likewise St. James, to the end that we should learn to hearken unto him, and wholly to depend upon his word. Let us mark well then that it is not lawful for men to invent laws or something, inioin, I can't read what that verse is, but that word is, laws unto men's souls. But whereas Moses saith, I ordain unto thee, he presupposeth that he preferred not anything of his own, nay, forged any law of his own brain, or added anything to that which God had committed unto him. But for as much as he did his office faithfully, he might well say, I ordain for thee, as when we set forth the pure word of God, the same very word is a sovereign commandment. Now it is not meant hereby that we should usurp any dominion or sovereignty over men's souls, but that in doing service to God we may command in his name and in his person. Thus we see here that the meaning of Moses was, and indeed, doth it lie in us to promise men life everlasting, or to denounce unto them the vengeance of God. And yet we do it nevertheless. Yet verily, howbeit no further forth than the word of God is put into our mouth, and that we have the testimony of him, being his witness bearers and his heralds. His witnesses, I mean, to assure the faithful of the grace and salvation which is promised unto them, and his heralds to pronounce and to publish his sentence against all the unbelieving sort and rebels. Therefore, to be short, God meant to show forth the majesty of his word when he appointed Moses to speak in that manner. And it was to the end that we should receive the word of God, and with so much the more lowliness and reverence, when it is preached unto us, not respecting the person as who would say he is, but a man that speaketh, he is like unto us, and as we are, so is he, but as though we thought thus with ourselves. 'Tis God that speaketh by the mouth of this man. Therefore let us tremble at his presence, let us stoop and receive that which he saith. And seeing he calleth us before him, let it serve to bring us to such obedience that we may do him homage, thereby to show that we embrace that which proceedeth from his majesty. This is the sum of that which we have to keep in memory touching this text. Now here might a question be moved why it is said, when you have kept all my commandments, for it is impossible for us to fulfil the law, so long as we stand clothed with this mortal flesh. As I said afore, we shall ever be full of vices and imperfections. It seemeth then that it is to no purpose for God to require such fulfilling of the law, seeing it is impossible. But here we must remember what hath been spoken of afore, to wit, that God in his law respecteth not our might, power, or ability, but our duty, and after what manner of our life ought to be governed. And the same ought to suffice us, inasmuch as we say that a man shall never attain to that perfect obedience of God, but that we be ever far from the end of our way, to the cause whereof is our corrupt nature, being so infected through original sin, that when we think on God, we be troubled with many evil fancies, and when we have any good motion, we are by and by plucked back from it, and we need not any other thing to draw us to the clean contrary, but now, by the way, doth the impossibility of doing it discharge us of our service, which we be bound to do unto God. No, for the evil cometh of ourselves. It is no marvel then that God in his law should have no regard to man's ability or inability, but that rather to the duty which we owe him, or that he should require the right that belongeth unto him. For who is he that can deny it him? He must not change his nature. If we be froward, what hath he to do to meddle with our steins? It says steins and sylphines. I'm not sure what that's saying. That he setteth forth such as righteousness as we are not able to reply against. And in his law he setteth not down such a righteousness as is in himself. He hath not respect to his own righteousness, but unto the righteousness that ought to be in his creatures, namely such as is in his angels. If we had continued in our integrity, and not been perverted and corrupted through sin, then should we have been able to have discharged all that God requireth us in his law. That is certain. Now then, we see how it is not without cause that God will have us to keep his whole law, and yet we be not able to perform it. It is true, but the default proceedeth of the sin which dwelleth in us, as I have showed heretofore. Now, herewithal we have to mark that seeing God promiseth nothing, but unto them that have obeyed all the law, it were too doltish folly to suppose that we can merit or defer or deserve by doing this thing or that thing. We must first of all have kept all the law, which is impossible. And whereas the Papists prate of their merits, enabling themselves to purchase the kingdom of heaven, they think that when they have done any good to their own seeming, God is bound to them. Oh, say they, I have been devoutly at Mass. It is certain that they provoke the wrath of God by so doing, for we know that it is a devilish abomination. Again, I have served such a saint, my patron, say they. I have builded such a chapel, and they bear themselves in hand that in so doing they earn heaven. Truly, all these things are but a spiting of God. They be devilish superstitions, whereby the service of God is quite defaced. But put the case that the Papists did well in their delaying so with such pelting stuff, were God ever the more bound unto them for it? It would behove them to consider first before what notary that evidence did pass. For it is not for us to bridle him, or to tie him to the stake, or to subdue him to our fantasies. It must proceed of his own good will. Now then, what saith he? When you shall have kept all my commandments, then shall these blessings come upon you. Let every of us look how he hath kept the commandments of God. Let the Papists brag as much as they list, they can say that they have accomplished. Can they say that they have accomplished a hundredth part of these? If they have kept one of God's commandments, they have offended him in 100 sins for it. And if there be but one fault committed, though it be never so little a one, they be faulty in all, according as St. James saith. He that faileth in any one only point is a breaker of the whole law. Seeing then that they be offenders, they are deprived and banished from all the blessings that God hath set forth. Yea, even that concern, but this present transitory life, much less therefore are they able to win that kingdom of heaven as they imagine, being not able to deserve one morsel of bread to put into their mouth. Thus are they shut out of all. And why? For God hath not promised anything but unto them that keep all his whole law. How shall we do then? We must hear God speak after an other fashion. To wit, we must hearken unto him, speaking of the free promises which he offereth unto us in our Lord Jesus Christ. God in the Holy Scripture useth a double speech, and when I speak of double speech, I mean not that he doubleth on his part, or that he is contrary to himself, or that one saying of his is repugnant to another. For God keepeth always at one stay, and as I have said afore, he changeth not. All that speeches that proceed from him do very well agree together, without any contradiction. Nevertheless, as touching his law, There he hath spoken as a judge and not as a father. It is his law he speaketh as a judge, saying, He that liveth as he ought shall not be deceived. He shall not lease or not lose his labour. For when you have done me service, I will cause you to prosper. After such manner doth God speak in the person of a judge. And when we have received this word, behold, we are confounded, howsoever the case standeth. And wherefore? For that instead of ability to obtain the grace that is offered unto us, we cease not to kindle God's wrath against us, and therefore we be all damned. What is to be done then? God cometh speaking as a father, and saith, Well then, I am contented to forbear this rigour of mine, which I might execute upon you by my law, howbeit that the same is not over great, for I have applied myself so far unto you as to promise that which is not your due. I have been willing, as it were, to entice you by amiable means, but I have won nothing thereby because of your frowardness. What remedy then? I come now to tell you that if you will believe in my son, I will release you of all your debts. If you will receive him for your shepherd, that he may guide you quietly, you shall perceive that I desire not to win you otherwise than by gentle and friendly dealing, as if I should say, Come unto me, and I will forgive you all your sins, and accept you into favour. And albeit that you are miserable creatures, deserving utter damnation, yet will I quite forget and bury all your offences when I have so done. I promise to beget you anew by my Holy Spirit, and this grace shall be given unto you by means of mine only Son, if you labour to come unto him. And thereupon, although you be driven to strive against many temptations, and that at the first encounter ye have not full victory over them, but that ye be encompassed with many spots and vices still, yet will I not lay any of all these things to your charge. I forgive you your sins, and the good you do shall be acceptable to me, though through my favour, although it deserveth it not. Lo here, the second order of speech that God useth unto us in the Holy Scripture. Let us mark, therefore, that when we hear the voice of our God, and know that we owe unto him what we owe unto him, and have heard the promises that he hath made us in his law, we must needs rest there confounded and condemned So I must apologise, there was an interruption there, so I might be starting a couple of sentences back, but God willing, we'll be fine. For so much as none of all those things can avail us by reason of our unthankfulness, whereupon we must have our refuge to the free mercy which is offered unto us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and hearken unto God when he speaketh unto us, which thing he doth both in the law, in the prophets, and in the gospel, saying, I of mine own mere goodness am become your saviour, and ye must seek your salvation from somewhere else than in yourselves. For the Redeemer which God promised was ever had in mind, that men might rest upon him, and for that cause were the sacrifices ordained in the time of the law. For although Christ was not yet uttered openly to the world, yet did the Jews understand that all the hope of their salvation depended upon their reconcilement to God by means of the sacrifice that was to be offered. They brought brute beasts to the temple. Was that to cleanse the uncleanness of their souls? No, for what can corrupt blood do? What shall stinking grease do? Can those things purge the soul of her iniquity? No, truly, but under those figures the Jews saw how they should be delivered from the curse of God and admitted into his favour, and that all their life should be acceptable unto him. And now have we a more sure testimony, therefore, in the gospel, for there we see the thing itself fully accomplished unto us, namely, that although we have not kept the commandments of God, yet Jesus Christ hath kept them. And wherefore was it? Because he was subject to it? No, But he became subject to the law, yea, but that was for our sakes. So then, let us have our recourse unto our Lord Jesus Christ, and let us hear God speaking in such a phrase, whereby he doth not only say, these be the things that I command you, and if ye do them, then you shall prosper and be blessed, but also where he saith, behold, I am your Father, come unto me, but come in the name of my only Son, who I have appointed to be your mediator, and acknowledge that there is nought else in you but corruption, and trust not in your own power, nor in your own free will, but casting away all foolish fantasies of vain presumption, come with lowliness to seek the grace of my Spirit, and then ye shall be surely that then it shall be surely that I will always uphold you by my goodness, and from day to day confirm you in my fear, and make you to walk in my ways, so as I will not lay to your charge that the faults of your works. They shall not hinder my blessing toward you, not that you should not confess your transgressions, and always acknowledge before me that you are at fault, but that your sins shall not be laid to your charge, although there be occasion why that they should be called to reckoning and to be reproved by me. Lo, there the second voice of God, to the which we must hearken, if we desire to become partakers of the blessings that be here contained. But by the way, we have to note for a conclusion, that although the faithful be exempted from the curse of God, and that he will not deal rigorously with them, but rather uphold them and make them to enjoy the blessings which he hath promised in his law, as though they had fully accomplished that same, yet cease they not to suffer many stripes of his rods, and our Lord chastiseth them continually, exercising some after one manner and some after another, so that all are smitten, and all the chastisements which God sendeth us be curses every one of them. I mean, as to outward appearance, if we be sick, if we be hungry or thirsty, if we be tormented in this present world, if we be troubled and persecuted, all these are the curses of God. Our enemies scoff at us. We be in reproach, in poverty, in vexation, and in many anguishes. One is troubled in his house by his wife, another by his children, and another by his neighbour. Finally, the faithful be many ways deprived of that blessings of God, of the blessings of God. It is sure so, howbeit, this letteth not but that we be evermore blessed of him, by reason that we have a continual taste of his goodness, to allure us unto him. Let us therefore note well, that when he cutteth off his blessings, and giveth them not, as we do wish, the same is for our profit, because he seeth we have need of some quickening up to make us to come unto him. And forasmuch as every of us do fall asleep in our sins, God is fain to waken us, and to make us feel that so soon as we withdraw us from his service, he will in like wise absent himself from us, and that his grace shall be taken away from us, and we stand dispossessed of the same. Howbeit, never so utterly, but that the blessing of God shall always surmount, so that we may joy therein, acknowledging him to be merciful, and waiting upon it his fatherly goodness, more amply to be showed, when he shall take us hence again to himself. Thus ye see how we may possess and enjoy the blessings of God, which are set forth for us in his law, insomuch that although our Lord doth interlace the same with many afflictions and many corrections, as though he had cursed us, his so doing is but to provoke us day by day to repentance, and to keep us from falling asleep in this present world, as we well know that our delights make us drunken and unmindful of God, except he constrain us by pricking and spurring us forward. Thus ye see how the things which are at the first sight seem contraries agree very well, and in that respect doth Moses say that these blessings shall light upon us and encompass us round about, as if he had said that we shall always be sure of God's favour, yea, even so sure of it, that it shall never fail us if we serve him. For the word encompass or to light upon us doth import that that grace of God is not fleeting, as though it fell at all adventure, and as though we could not catch it soon enough. No, saith he, you shall be encompassed therewith, and therefore let us assure ourselves of the goodness of our God, and that it shall never fail us, so that we for our part do come unto him. But let us note well that we can never come there unless he draw us unto him, and that for so much as we be subject to so many infirmities and vices, he by his bearing with us showeth us that we must have our recourse to his free goodness, and for the forgiveness of our sins by the reconciliation that he hath made in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we in straining ourselves to do well shall perceive that the goodness of God ceaseth not to be free unto us without owing us anything at all. Now let us fall down before the majesty of our good God with acknowledgement of our sins, praying him to make us feel them better than we have done, that being beaten down, yea, and as it were drowned in despair, we may be drawn to the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that we be altogether empty and naked of all goodness, let us beseech him to renew us by his Holy Spirit, even till we be fully changed, and that we may be more and more increased in his graces, so that we may have testimony that God regardeth us, and is near unto us, yea, and dwelleth in us, and that we may be so confirmed in his adoption, that we may always wait for the heavenly inheritance, and not be weary in this world to walk in his obedience, that it may please him to bestow this grace not only upon us, but also upon all people and nations of the earth. Amen. Apologies again for the interruptions in the recording.